Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Community and Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee. Can you please make sure that your mobile phones are switched off? And a special welcome to the people from Freedom Leisure. Can I first of all introduce Jackie Allen, who sat at the back, being very quiet actually. She's a new member in our, you probably met her in planning, I understand, but she's a new member in our Democratic Services. So she's helping Jim at the moment, I think, learning a lot. Jackie. So welcome, Jackie. Yeah. First of all, can I say we're going to take the Freedom Leisure report first on the agenda before we do anything else, so that that's a request, so that people can leave early, I believe. Yeah? Okay, so we'll... So that's on pages 9 and 7.
Okay.
Minutes from the 18th of July. Do we all agree it's a true record? Any observations, any comments?
No.
Can I sign the minutes then, please?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. There you go.
I can sign the minutes.
Very good. Yeah. You never know. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, okay. So,
apologies, Chairman.
Apologies.
Yeah. So, thank you, Chairman. Apologies received from Councillor Jenny Barron, who is substitute tonight by Councillor Brendan McEwen, and also apologies from Councillor James Nixon, who is substituted by Gareth Jones, and the Cabinet Member Jill Hood.
Right, thank you very much indeed for that. Okay. And we've no public questions, we have no councillor.
No.
Yeah, okay. And we've no members' items. Okay, so we'll take the, on pages 9 to 47, on the agenda.
Madam Chairman, can I declare an interest?
You can.
Simply that I'm a front of house volunteer at the Gatehouse Theatre.
You're just a volunteer though, so that doesn't,
yes, employed.
Doesn't stop you from taking part in...
I don't get paid at all now, so...
Pardon?
So I don't get paid at all now, at all.
Thank you very much for that, Peter. Okay.
Well, in terms, part of it is confidential.
Can I mention, before that pink paper, we're here now to look at the actions of Freedom Leisure, but the monetary side.
Right, okay.
The monetary side will be done by resources.
Okay, fine.
You know, so anything to do with the money side of it, it will go to Resources Committee. So that pink paper we will not be
discussing.
No.
Yeah, but we can ask a question.
Not on money, no.
No, not about money, but about...
Yes, yeah,
yeah.
Okay. You're right, Aidan. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, so I'm going to ask Liz, actually, if you want to give any details or anything that you want to add to what's in the report that you've given us.
Yeah, certainly. I'll just give you an overview, if that's okay.
Thank you.
In terms of highlights to us, things that we'd like to... So
nice to see you, Liz, at any rate.
Thank you.
Back on Bury Land.
Yes. So the report refers to 2022 to 2023 financial year. And I think we're fair to say that it has been a challenging year for the leisure and sport and cultural sector. Coming out of COVID, obviously, still, and the increasing energy crisis and prices that everybody's been facing, and the cost of living crisis have been obviously a major feature and a challenge for Freedom Leisure, not just in Stafford but across the business. And we've continued to provide services throughout that time. We have been supported and working closely with the Stafford Borough Council officers to make sure we can deliver the best outcomes for the community. Through providing leisure and cultural services that we are committed to provide. And our sort of strap line is that we continue to improve rights to leisure, and that's what our guiding thread is really through our business, for both the physical and the mental health of the community. So just to reflect on the year that we are talking about, because it seems like a long time ago now, but we started in April 2022 with obviously Easter holiday activities and wildlife fair events at the castle, that was sort of the first one that we'd had since COVID, so it's quite interesting to see that we were still on that recovery journey with some of our events programme. The highlight was obviously the Shakespeare event returned up at Stafford Castle in July 2022. And the Commonwealth Games Baton Relay took place in July, so that seems like a long time ago, but these are events that we delivered in conjunction with Stafford and Council officers. We moved through the year with our Christmas events and the pantomime returning, with the final event really being the half marathon and run run in March this year. So we've had a full programme. I think it's probably the first year that we've really had that full programme back for the community. It's been well received, and that's reflected in our participation numbers. So when we compare the previous year, 2021 to 2022, we can see growth across all areas of our sort of offering. The only one to perhaps highlight is the running events. So the Stafford 10K and the Stafford Half Marathon returned, and their numbers were down. And this has been a common theme across the running community. There is very much a noticeable change in how soon people actually commit to a race. I think it's reflecting in the cost of living crisis that people are facing. They are more of a last minute buying behaviour, and they're being more choosy in terms of what races they enter. That said, this year's Stafford 10K, which is going to take place in 3 weeks' time, on 24th of September, is tracking in line with where it was last year, so that's positive. Sales have stabilised in terms of that event. Several local events have been cancelled, which is disappointing for the running community, including Wolverhampton Half Marathon and 10K, which was run in conjunction with the City Council in Wolverhampton. And that, the reasons for that were low entry numbers and all the challenges that brings in terms of costs that they would be facing. So that's just to note that, you know, that's the only negative percentage that we've got on there in terms of participation. Everything else has shown significant growth, which is really encouraging in terms of people returning to doing those activities and getting involved in those health and wellbeing opportunities. Just moving on to our colleagues, obviously we are continuing to develop our colleague team. More recently we have reviewed our Rowley Park staffing levels and introduced an operations manager position, which is a new role. We've never had that role there, it's always just been park ranger staff. The colleague started in the summer of this year, but it was instigated during last financial year. We've also had some promotions within the team, within the theatre, appointed a new events manager to replace myself. So these roles have sort of come into fruition and we've developed our team. We're constantly delivering training, obviously we have strategy training that we need to deliver in terms of health and safety and compliance. But equally, some specialist training, for example, our heritage team colleagues have gone on to conservation and cleaning of specialists. Artifacts, etc. So it's wide ranging in terms of the training and development opportunities we offer the team. In terms of growing our reach in terms of marketing and communication messages, we have developed marketing plans with our central colleagues, etc. And using social media and traditional media as well to make sure we reach all the audiences that are available so they can be aware of all opportunities. Looking at energy performance, obviously it's a key focus of ourselves and Freedom Leisure, and we have made reductions in our usage, very conscious of obviously rising costs and also the environmental impact. And electricity and gas usage has been reduced through good housekeeping measures, looking at things like LED lighting, etc. And that remains a key focus of Freedom Leisure. We are working with councillors, sorry, the council offices, in terms of decarbonisation, de-stratification plans, and some more legislators in the theatre. Any funding opportunities that might be available to us to tap into to continue that work. Health and safety, obviously a key focus to make sure everybody experiences safe and healthy activities and memorable. And I'm pleased to say that we've had nothing that was reportable in the last year, and in terms of our statistics, they are well below the national average in terms of comparing them to percentage of usage, which is a key indicator that we look at. And then sort of on the final page of the report, we were looking ahead to 23-24 as a key project. We've been working closely with officers on a partnership improvement plan and strategy that will take us forward for the next 3 to 5 years. Some of those projects have come to fruition already in terms of, in this financial year, developing the cafe at Suffolk Leisure Centre, the relocation of Shakespeare production to the Gatehouse Theatre, and looking at the gym, very recent project that's just completed at the end of August. We've replaced and invested in the refurbishment of the cardiovascular gym equipment. At the fitness suite, and that reopened on the 26th of August, I'm thinking of memory. That's a recent investment in that equipment, and that sort of brings us right up to date. The rest of the report was there for your information in terms of some photographs and details, and just recording the year really and the timeline that I've talked about. So. Mm-hmm. Is that a bit of an overview? Is that
thank you very much. Yes, it was very interesting, that. Thank you. I mean, do I take it then that Shakespeare is going to... Where is Shakespeare going to be next year?
Good question, Anne.
Thank you. Because I understand it's a one-year contract, would it not?
Yes, so we put the proposal forward. I think that was considered in December last year, and then scrutinised in January and went ahead in terms of the move to the theatre. We are in the process of reviewing, obviously this year's events just happened in June, July time. That's been reviewed, and obviously we're working with the council officers to look at where that goes going forward. I think we've identified lots of benefits for the move, and I think that was part of the scrutiny report in terms of the value for money that it provided, moving it to the theatre, and the added benefits for the town centre, for the nighttime economy. There was no weather challenges up at the castle that we normally experience, which can impact on us having to cancel shows, and also the experience with the customer, the wet weather didn't impact on the theatre, luckily, any impact on that, and also the infrastructure was already existing, so why not use our wonderful theatre that we have? So the toilets, the staging, the lighting and everything was in place, so didn't have to be rebuilt on a separate site. So that's all been reviewed and all been reported to the officers for then any future decisions.
So really nothing set in concrete as far as Shakespeare is concerned yet. You make a decision.
It's not got to that stage, and it will be part of that strategic review as well, because obviously of the wider ramifications of that.
Yeah. Okay. Can I just say to you as well about, you mentioned Rowley Park. The green flags we've got are all run by Stafford Borough, but Rowley Park is run by yourself. Now you say you set someone else on to look at, because I understand it's not in a very good condition. Some of the facilities and everything are really run down, and to say it covers a wide area at that end of town, it is not in a good state. So are you doing something to put that right, please?
Yeah, so we have experienced significant increase in our social behaviour over the last 6 months, 7 months, and criminal activity in the park. So again, we've been working very closely with the officers of Borough Council in terms of looking at how we can improve the day-to-day operation of the park. It has been very challenging over recent times. So we've just had a deep clean of the toilet and the changing room areas there. And also we have just invested or placed an order for some increased CCTV coverage. At the minute there's one camera that covers the whole of the park. That's not enough at the moment, so we have looked at increasing the coverage of the CCTV coverage. That won't solve all the problems, but it will help us to move things forward. Working with the police and the community safety partnership has been a big part of what we're doing with an action plan to move things forward. It has been extremely challenging.
Can I just
I
say,
think
can
that's
you
sort of a wider issue. I don't think that's just restricted to the park. Mm-hmm. I know it's potentially a wider issue.
Thinking about the children that use that park, can you keep an eye on your agenda that is put on, you know, this is looked after a little better. Thank you. Right, okay. I've got Gareth first and I've got Anne. Gareth?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on your question about the theatre. I note that in this report that the biggest positive variance is actually Shakespeare, 27%. And that relates to, both of those figures relate to the castle performance, yes? I understand you've not made a decision as yet, but what sort of lead time do you operate to in terms of agreeing when you propose to put a Shakespeare performance on in the summer of 24? Would you need to decide, presumably there's actors to be recruited, etc., etc., so there must be a fairly long lead time. I was just interested to know when you would have to make the decision as to whether you wanted to go ahead or not.
Yeah, so just in reference to your comment about the participation numbers increasing, just to note, the Romeo and Juliet performance, which happened at Stafford Castle last year, but in this financial report, that included a carryover of well over 1,000 tickets from 2020. So we were due to do Romeo and Juliet in 2020. Obviously that didn't happen, and it didn't happen in 21. So there was that carryover of tickets. So that did increase, that does reflect some of the numbers that you see there in terms of the participation. In terms of the second part of the question, how soon do we need to make decisions? We would aim to go on sale with the production of Shakespeare 2024 at the beginning of December.
Right.
That,
so it's not far away
from
the decision.
No. Thank you.
And, I just wanted to ask about the energy performance. You said there's been some reduction in costs, but there is mention here of solar panels. But they were for stone, weren't they? Are they consuming baths at stone?
Yes.
Are they in situ?
No, not yet.
So are you going to look at putting, because the biggest cost must be heating the pool. Would you consider getting further grants or doing Stafford?
That's very much on the cards in terms of we've been discussing that with the council officers. Andy, I don't know if you can
see. Certainly. Just to introduce myself, I'm Andy Harrison, sure. I'm the regional manager of Freedom Leisure Wales and the North, so Stafford comes under my region. But to answer your question, yes, air source heat pumps would be what we would be looking for. So I think we've already had conversations with Stafford Council about the opportunity for air source heat pumps, which are a significant investment. They're very, very much so, but they would be the type of equipment that we would need to be able to resolve some of those issues with heating the pool as well. There is some funding available with the PSDS funding opportunities within England, so we are in conversation with council officers to explore those possibilities to see what funding could be made available. But yeah, certainly, it's on our radar to look at all areas of funding. Solar PV being one for electric for other alternatives to fund, as you say, the heating probably something that we'd like to explore as well.
So the answer going into stone isn't for heating the pool then, that's for the electrics.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Solar PV is for the solar PV that we'd be looking for stone would be for electric distribution. Generally, at the moment, for heating swimming pools, it's gas, so it would be a gas boiler rather than electric heating. And that's where the air source heat pumps come into play, with to be able to support heating the pool water. Then.
Mm. That was your question, are you okay? You're quite happy, right, Philip? It's
Plus, I attended a large number of the events organised by Freedom Leisure last year in my role as mayor. And I was found that people were very complimentary of the various events, and they really enjoyed them, and really appreciated all the hard work that went into them. And of course, some events were free, particularly the light switch on and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Regarding the 10K and the Stafford Half Marathon, talking to the people that were taking part, they really said how well organised it was, and I was surprised that it attracted people from throughout the country, from Leeds and downtown and so on, attended because it was how well organised it was, and of course the course is flat. It's not like the Stoke-on-Trent Marathon or anything like that. Thank you to Freedom Leisure. You do a great job promoting the borough, and I'm sure you are a great asset to the Borough Council and all the work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Brendan, yes.
Madam Chair. Excellent report. Mostly positive outcomes as well in difficult times. Slightly off left wing of that report. It's a bit of a shame that the proposed tour of Borough Council sites and the amenities facilities that we were all invited to earlier on this year didn't get enough support from councillors to enable it to go ahead, because I think it would have been very useful, especially for newer members, to visit the sites that you are looking after so well. I'd like to propose that we try and revisit that proposed visit, in order to get some people on board that coach. And then a question on behalf of Councillor Jenny Barron, who I'm replacing, substituting for tonight. She asks, will the classic car event at Stafford Castle likely to come back?
At this moment in time, we've replaced that with a biking reenactment weekend, which took place in August, very, very successfully. It took place last year and we repeated it again this year. Really high attendance at the biking event, I think it's possibly on the timeline in the report. We saw that as more fitting to the setting, increased participation, also environmentally, we felt it was more appropriate. The castle site car park is a field for the disused medieval village, so it has quite tight restrictions on it because it is still part of the ancient monument site, and the it is very weather dependent for that kind of event because of the cars getting on and off the field and on the parking. And we made the decision not to go ahead last year with it and replace it with this event, which we felt was more inclusive. And we had really good positive feedback, so that's why we repeated it and extended it this year to a two-day event. So we have discussed this with the previous cabinet member for leisure and the council officers, and it was agreed that going forward we would continue with that event as opposed to the car show.
Let me ask the question on behalf of someone else, but a Vauxhall Viking, something you could consider in the future. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sorry.
Sorry for being late, I got caught up in work, but I'm not sure if it's been mentioned, but a few residents of Rowley have complained about the licensing of Rowley Park, that they've been apparently there's tight restrictions that if there is any alcohol to be sold at Rowley Park, it needs to do like through a few months of kind of planning, and it needs to be the residents need to be talked to. But a few of the residents have found that they're not being warned about these kind of events that are being held, and there's been alcohol like sold on site, and then it's causing these antisocial behaviours around Rowley. Have you got any more information on the alcohol settlement in Rowley Park in advance?
There's absolutely no licence, even when we had the premises licensed, and Councillor Ledger will remember that we had to come and get that in terms of we applied for premises licence, I think it was in 2019, mm-hmm. seems a long time ago now, pre-COVID, for the Party in the Park event, because that had to relocate from Victoria Park due to the HLF project mm-hmm. Into Rowley Park, and that decision was made by ourselves and the council officers at the time. And we were advised by licensing committee, the licensing officers, to apply for a premises license because it's regulating the entertainment element of having that event in the park. And that was brought to a licensing committee, I think, chaired by yourself.
Long time ago,
it was a long time ago.
I can't remember.
And the alcohol is never part of that license. I think there was a fear amongst the residents at that time that it would be included, but that was never part of it. And we delivered the Party in the Park event very successfully for 2 years.
So there should be no alcohol sold at Rowley Park at any kind of events?
No.
Okay.
And that's we don't actually have a current premises license for that in terms of the regulated entertainment, because we haven't held the Party in the Park event this year. It took place in Victoria Park in conjunction with the Borough Council.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. No more questions. Just one final question from myself, actually. I notice on Facebook, Liz, that last few weeks and that, there's been closures of the swimming pool at short notice. Is there any reason for, you know, I'm just thinking of the disruption with children and swimming, and what is the cause for that, please?
The most recent one I was on, actually, on leave, was we had a bit of an incident with smoke coming into the building. So we had to close and evacuate the building and call the fire brigade out. That was coming from a local substation nearby, and our air handling unit, so that was just a precaution. So we had to close the pool for a short period of time. Other times have been potentially where it's not been safe to open because we haven't got the quantity and ratio of lifeguards that we required. We are reviewing the whole swimming pool programme at the moment to look at how many lifeguards we actually need in terms of ratios, etc., for the number of people on the programme that we offer, and trying to extend the opening hours in terms of casual use during the day.
Mm.
So it's not closed for any time, continuously opening the pool. So that's all under review at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that involves quite a complex series of visibility tests and all sorts of things that you have to consider to make sure that we can maximise the number of places available. Mm-hmm. So things like the Learn to Swim programme, which is swimming lessons, that is dependent on our swim teachers, and recruitment is a constant thing for that. Again, following COVID, there was a bit of a skills gap coming back. The lifeguard qualification lasted 2 years. So
yeah.
It's a case of we run courses now in-house where we ask people that aren't qualified to come forward and take part in a week-long course and get assessed at the end of it, and then they sign sort of a training agreement, but then they become a lifeguard in our centre.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
mm-hmm.
constantly recruiting staff to make sure that we don't have any gaps in mm-hmm. the programme.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for that. Thank you. Is there no more questions from any?
Yeah.
Right.
I've got a question about the pink paper. I know it's not financial.
It's not financial.
It's not about the figures. It's just when I see management fees, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Yes. So a management fee is something that we receive from the Borough Council for certain facilities, and we pay the Borough Council money back
Is that answer your question? I know it's been a burning question of yours, yeah. Well, thank you for that. Liz, thank you so much. And Andy, thank you so much for coming to the meeting and giving an insight of all the work that Freedom Leisure are doing with the borough. It's absolutely, and can we finish on a positive note and say it's really good to see, I know Councillor Pardos is sat in the back there, the gym is absolutely good news, the cafe, good news. And I've got to say, regarding the gatehouse and the shit, I was blown away how you decorated the gatehouse for Shakespeare. It was absolutely fantastic. And of course the lights switch on and everything. So thank you on behalf of everyone at the borough for the work that you do. But moving forward, you know, some little improvements that we've mentioned today. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, and you know, do please come and visit us. And have your
yes, time. And I would take up Brendan's point that we will put that forward again, because I agree with you, Brendan. When was it? When was it?
I think it wasn't long after the election was made.
Oh, was it in the wrong time, probably?
Either the 2nd of June or the 9th of June.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Probably the wrong time. Yeah.
They were the 2nd, actually.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. So we will put that forward again. Jim, yeah. You got that right, note of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. You're welcome to stay if you like, but you're welcome to leave.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Right, we're on to item 5A now, aren't we?
Lee Booth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go back to page 3, please, Chairman.
I will. Yeah.
And that's your report.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Can we now look at item 5A on the committee, which is on page 3 of the report? Yeah. And everything's to be noted. I just want to mention actually about the item on lost my page myself on page 7 about the adult social care enhanced assurance, you know, that's taking place at the county. There is a committee being put together and we're looking at all the aspects of that, of care and everything. So I just wanted you to highlight that and to make sure that you've you read it. Okay. I mean, the little note that I'll read to you. The scope of these new assurance arrangements is limited to the County Council responsibility to deliver the Care Act. However, the CQC may be interested in how the County Council works in partnership with the Borough Council, where this supports individuals to remain independent at home. For example, the County Council make reference to the disability facility grants, which I think we've got on our agenda for January, haven't we?
Yeah.
So, okay. I've got in a smile from Councillor Burton, I don't know why. What have I done wrong? Okay. So that's to be noted. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, Anne. Yeah.
On page 6, where it looked at system pressures, and it says there's a critical incident from 29th of December 22 to 12th of January 23. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says what the three key components were. Does this happen every year? Was there some comparison? I think there are pressures, winter pressures, aren't there, every year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, was there some comparison done, or...?
I can't answer that for you, and I've got to be honest with you, but...
And will they do anything to prevent it from happening next time?
It's something we can raise, you know.
Well, there are always winter pressures.
Yeah.
You know, what can be done to try and alleviate that, if anything?
Okay, we'll make a note of that. Okay. Right, thank you very much. Right, we'll move on to item...
Page 48, please, Chairman.
Page 48, the performance report. Thank you.
I
Okay. On page 48, you can see community delivery plan. So we'll take it page by page. Any comments or anything that you want to raise? So page 48, page 49. I do like this new star and tick and not the smiley faces. I think that it's much better. It's a little bit more grown up, shall we say. So, yeah.
Page 49.
Yeah.
The 2-2. Can we perhaps pass on our how well the parks and the baskets and so on have looked this year in both Stafford and Stone. And of course, the Victoria Park and Stonefield Park.
Yeah. The Green Flag
despite
Award.
Despite the fact that, you know, we've had periods of very dry weather, they are looking absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So perhaps we could pass on our
we can certainly do that, can't we, Jim? We'll send a letter from the committee thanking them for all the good work that they're doing and how pretty and that the areas have looked and the parks. Yeah. Yeah. And it's great to see we've won Green Flag Awards as well. Yeah. Is there any more comments?
No? I was going to ask a question on that. You know, I know there was a couple incidents of vandalism in the town centre of, like, say, the flower beds and everything. Is that still an issue? The vandalism, like, after, like, nights out kind of thing, with people just ripping up the flower beds, or...?
Can I... Probably Vicky might be able to answer that. Have you got any knowledge of that, Vicky?
I haven't had any more reports.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. That's good to hear.
Comments on that as well, Chair. Yes. I've had no residents asking me as the local member about such
an
incident
in
this year.
Yeah, thank you. Right, page 50.
I've got one on page 50. What new support is available?
Sorry, Louise.
What new support is available?
Which item are we looking at, please?
2.3.1, support partners to offer another initiative to improve and enhance
well-being. Right, okay. Can you answer that, Anna, please? Can you just shout up a bit?
What new support has been put in place, please? Okay, this is a report that went through Cabinet, I believe, in June or July time, and it related to some of the issues around continuation of the warm space. So at Ryanbrook, which was the warm space hub previously, there was still significant numbers of residents who were attending every day, and it was decided that it was really difficult to withdraw that support given the need that was there. So we have agreed to, for a short period of time, continue to the entity to continue that support that is underway during the winter as well. We'd obviously looked at all the warm spaces, and that was the one where they had the most significant number of people who were still accessing that stage. We also had a recommendation there around putting in some support for domestic abuse to have an education programme in some of the schools. So that is currently being rolled out as well. So I'm looking at some hate crime training or awareness around, again, in schools to counter some messages as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Does that answer your question, Councillor Nixon? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more questions on page 50? No? Page 51? Page 51, yeah? Yes, Louise.
There's been some antisocial behaviour outside somewhere on my ward, and it's frightening the residential residents. And it's been things that's been happening outside the House of Bread.
Can you speak up?
Outside the House of Bread, there's been some antisocial behaviour that's frightened some of the residents. And I'm aware that there needs to be somewhere moving forward for the House of Bread to be. And I'm querying whether it's a good idea to have that next to
residential places simply because of what's going on outside.
I think, have you got any knowledge of this, Vicky, of the House of Bread and any antisocial behaviour?
I think the House of Bread obviously isn't run by the Borough Council, so we can't determine where it's located.
No.
Clearly it is near residential properties at the moment, but that's their choice, and I know they're looking to relocate, but it isn't up to us as to where those premises are going to be going forward. But I do know the House of Bread works really closely with the PCFOs, so I'd hope any unsocial behaviour will be managed relatively quickly.
Yeah.
It's becoming it's difficult to know how to talk about it without being specific, but there are women that are fighting to go down there, and there have been injuries that have occurred.
I'm sure.
That have happened on the streets. And people not wanting to get involved in it, but ending up accidentally involved in it just because that's where they were there.
Have you got any knowledge of that, Vicky, or is it something that...
What I can say is that we do need people to report, that the team at Borough Council have been working with the police and housing agencies to carry out engagement work, so they've literally been door knocking to speak to residents and encourage them to report any concerns. That area does fall with what's classed as the town centre for the police in a geographical area, so we class them as that as the town centre. And the Community Wellbeing Partnership have got a focus group looking at that, with all the agencies that can support, from social care, you know, the police, House of Bread, street pastors, the town centre businesses. So we are, that group is meeting. He's meeting again next week, where we're all just looking to problem solve. But it is about encouraging the residents and giving them the confidence to report things, because if we don't know, we're the same
for
the police. But as you say, they are looking to relocate it, and they're investigating premises.
But that's another subject, Louise, you know, it is, they are looking for new premises, I think we all know that, I think.
Seen it online or in the paper or something.
Okay, any more questions on page, I forgot what page we're on now, 51. Any more questions on page 51? On page 52, any queries? Page 53.
Sorry, got back to 51. It's not specific about anything there, but it's like about the air quality report. And it says it's like satisfaction. I was just wondering, is there anything that we're doing as the council to kind of make the air quality better, like no idling signs and those kind of things in the high street? Because I know going down the high street often there's vans that are just idling there for half an hour at a time kind of thing. And I was just wondering if there's a proactive steps we can take to make the air quality better than it already is.
Unfortunately, Joss Pressland is unable to attend the meeting, but I can ask him to report back at the next meeting.
Thank you very much, thank you. Let's see what air quality. Right, page 52. Any more questions? Page 53. Pardon?
2.5.1.
Yeah.
There's been, as I was saying earlier, we've been visiting House of Bread regularly, and within a space of a fortnight, there were three deaths in the homeless community. And I'm also aware that the problems that are going on there have been clogging up A&E. Trying to think of solutions, I'm just wondering, querying, would it be possible to approach building companies and ask if 10% of their power could be used to create a sustainable solution to that problem?
I don't think really this is a question for this committee, but I don't know whether you want to throw any light on that.
Really sorry, I didn't get the question.
Can you shout up a bit?
In the space of a fortnight, visiting the House of Bread, there were three deaths. And trying to think of a solution to the sort of problem, and I understand there's mental health problems down there. I'm wondering if it might be possible to approach the building companies and wonder if 10% of their power could be used to brainstorm and create a sustainable solution to that problem?
I don't think that really is a question for this committee.
Is the question asking about ways to prevent rotting the debt, or to provide housing in this
case? I think it's something probably that Will should take up. This is something that House of Bread should be dealing with as a separate issue, not from...
I think what I could say is that the Housing Option Services works very closely with a number of voluntary sector organisations across the borough, looking at a housing pathway for homelessness. And clearly it isn't just about providing housing, you're aware, it's about support services as well. And that's what the work of the team is. If there's a building company that you think can help us to come up with solutions, then do pass their details our way. But absolutely.
Just that there's a lot of building work going on in the borough at the moment, isn't it? So if it were asking that question with them, it's just what I was wondering.
I think it's the House of Bread that need to approach the borough if they're thinking of, you know, I know they want to move. So, yeah. Okay. Right. Page 54.
2.53. Is this a shared service? Is this something that we're doing with Lichfield as well?
2.53, is this... Anna, can you answer that?
So this is the new Shared Facilities Grant service, and we brought it in-house the 1st of April. It's a shared service with South Staffordshire.
Oh, South Staffordshire, right, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So we're delivering on their behalf.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Does that answer your question, Philip?
Yeah, fine.
Thank you. Okay, page 55. Page 56.
Yes.
Wow, yeah, okay.
Al 14. A number of residents who think the town centres are clean and tidy. Target 90%. First quarter, 97% say yes. I find that hard to believe, given the fact the Market Square has been anything but clean and tidy. No way could it be clean and tidy because the building work's been going on. And in any case, if you asked that question to the general public, I very much doubt that 97% would say that the streets are clean and tidy anywhere in the world.
I think it's, I take your point actually. Would you like to, do you want to answer that, Lee? Or is,
yes,
I mean, we all appreciate the town centre, you know, but hopefully it's nearly finished.
Just as a way of introduction, what I did with last week, I don't think everyone else was
saying. Halloween, so. It should be.
Lee Booth, Interim Neighbourhood Services Group Manager, so street scene comes under my remit. We were expecting a bit of a dip, actually, given the town centre development work that's going on. This bid that's been given is about in line with what we've responded before, so we can only provide you with the feedback that's been given by residents. The way this works is customer contact centre asks the question to residents to call, and this was the response. But bear in mind, residents may live from all over the borough, so we could be talking about extra.
Is that answer your query?
Well, I'm fine. Half a farmer that lives in the middle of nowhere, that 97% of them would be satisfied. Just a bogus figure, like I said, anywhere in the world you won't find that.
I think we take your point and I understand where you're coming from, shall we?
Yeah,
Brendan, your question now, please.
How would that survey be undertaken then?
Yes.
What's the procedure?
So the way that works is for queries will get to the contact centre by the telephone. The contact centre member of staff will ask the resident if they're prepared to take part in a short survey. One of the questions they ask is how would we rate the progress of the town centre scale. Comment the exact what's satisfactory to excellent is the positive side, then unsatisfactory or very satisfied on the other end, and the response is recorded and reported by this committee quarterly.
Yeah. So these would be people calling in to the council offices on some issue.
Yes, it could be anything. They could be asking for a replacement bin, it could be a planning inquiry, it could be anything. And the contact centre member staff will have to be prepared to take part in short survey. This is where the question is asked.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you. Okay. So we move on to page 9.
No, I've still got a question on 56. L16.
Well, you put your hand up there, and then we know where we are and what. Yeah, okay.
For L16, for the reuse, recycling and composting, I was just wondering, is there any figures on how the charge of the brown bin is affecting how much is composted in the borough? Because I see regularly that walking down the streets, people mow the lawns and they'll just put all the grass trimmings straight into the green bin, which will go to obviously landfill, which is obviously an issue because that creates more emissions. Like methane is worse for the environment than carbon dioxide, and landfilling like garden waste creates more methane. So I was just wondering, how was that measured? In terms of people throwing their garden waste into the green bin, is that measured? Is that kind of dealt with in a certain way, or
rightly?
So the recycling waste contract is part of my service area as well. But just to clarify a point, the residual waste that effectively goes to the green bin doesn't go to landfill. It hasn't for a number of years.
It actually
goes to a facility that's incinerated and converted into energy, which is then supplied to the residents. So. Just to clarify that point, it doesn't go to landfill. In terms of your questions around composting and garden waste, by looking at the trends ever since we introduced charge for garden waste, there's been a very slight reduction in the garden waste material that we receive. And the recycling rate figure has stayed fairly positive as well. So the recycling rate you would expect would perhaps reduce a little bit if people put a significant amount of garden waste into their green bin. While I do accept people, we know people do put it into the green bin sometimes, but people did before as well. So we haven't seen a significant change in that data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Right, surely, Chairman, if people haven't got a brown bin, where they're supposed to put the garden waste? Then they're going to put it in whatever's convenient.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But I mean, at the point of the councillors, you know.
Philip.
A couple of things. Yes. First of all. Is there any steps to start to recycle food waste?
Interesting question. We're awaiting a national waste and resources strategy, which has been on the cards for a couple of years now. It's strongly suspected that separate food waste will be a requirement of that strategy. Typically the way that works is that would be a weekly collection because of pests and things like that. So we're awaiting the outcome of the resource and waste strategy to direct us. There's a strong suspicion that will be a mandated separate collection.
Yeah. Thank
and,
you.
And another point is that with the household recycling and so on, I understand that if somebody puts something into a blue bin, that is classed as not being recyclable. It's classed as being contaminated. And is it the whole bin lorry that's classed as contaminated that has to go to be incinerated? Or
so typically the way that would work is that the normal contaminated things we get, there's two ways we get it. One would be on the curbside.
Yeah.
So the crew may just lock out the bin at the time, so
right,
if they open the bin up and see whatever coffee in there, all sorts of find in there, then they may lock it out at the time, and that would be recorded as contamination on the Veolia council system. Another way the contamination is managed, when it does go to the recovery facility, they will do checks on the waste that goes through the stream there, so we'll receive contamination figures there. So that's obviously very difficult to determine where that contamination has come from. But it gives us a figure and an idea of what we may need to target in future campaigns.
What waste, some of the waste that goes into the recycle bin, people put it in because they think it's recyclable, but it's actually contaminated. what publicity do we give to make people aware that, in fact, that item is not recyclable, it's classed as contaminated? What do we do to publicise that?
Yeah, so the way we've tackled this over the last few years, we've tried to be more targeted rather than blanket communication out to residents as a whole. You know, 60,000 letters, if those days are gone, really, it's not the best value for money now. So the way we try to tackle this now is to understand where our contamination areas are. So a typical example is in communal properties, where people are all sharing the same margin of bins, etc. So we've done things that are a bit more targeted, which you might not always see. Yeah. Start with bin stickers, speaking to residents, speaking to housing association groups. So we've been tackling it in that way a little bit differently. We've also, with the abilities, we've said when crews lock out a bin, we can then see contamination down to ward and street level. So in the past, we have looked into residents right down to a street level. To say, look, we're facing a bit of an issue here, this is something it's a bit better than sending out 6,000 many letters to the borough. So, yeah, you might not always see it, but we'll do these things.
Okay. Just to answer your question, Philip.
The final one is people often ask, they use the brown bin, you know, for stuff, for composting and so on. Why can't they buy the compost? Or can they? Or
okay, yeah, so the garden waste that we collect goes to a farm in Chepsey, Millbank Farm, where it goes through a 20-week process to become a soil improvement slash compost. That's sold commercially, if you like. It goes to garden centres, etc. So they may well actually have bought it without knowing in the past. It may all be their own, or the residents' garden waste that's been converted into soil improvement compost.
You know, people say, I have to pay extra for my brown bin, and then I have to buy compost. Why can't I buy the compost that's produced by the stuff that's collected within the borough at a reduced price, or we'll get it free?
Another option is as well that the County Council offered discounted compost bins to residents across the borough and the county. So there is actually the option for residents to buy a compost bin at a discounted rate. And staff with borers consistently been at the top of requests for that across the whole country. So there's the option for residents to compost on site themselves, and they can have residents buy a compost bin to do that as well.
Thank you. Brendan, you want to ask a question?
One final question.
Is this your own question or did somebody else address it?
Last year, someone decided it would be a good idea to launch a dead hedgehog into one of my bins.
Oh, don't.
And it was a big hedgehog. Oh. And it was the day after the bin had been collected. I can't remember which bin it had actually gone in, but it was large and pestering by 2 weeks later. And just advise, which bin should I put it in?
Do you know, that's quite interesting, Brandon, because I did litter pick on Saturday afternoon and there was a dead hedgehog and it recently been killed. And I could not, for the life of me, put it into the bag. I had to get somebody else to do it. It really upset me. Yeah. It's, okay. Sorry about that. But, you want to ask the question? Which page?
Still the same page.
Yeah.
It's to do with, like, commercial recycling. So I know quite a few businesses around Stafford that I've worked at that don't only recycle glass due to, like, the extra cost. But I know they normally pay for like an extra recycle. It's normally like, obviously when you're a commercial business, you have to pay for your own waste kind of services. Mm-hmm. But like, obviously I know all these businesses that are throwing away any kind of like plastic and any kind of tin and, you know, metals that are easily recycled. They're just throwing them into general waste because it's cheaper. I was just wondering, is there a way as a borough council we can encourage these businesses to increase their recycling by making it more, economically viable for them? Because obviously as a business, your number one priority is obviously to make money, isn't it? So is there a way as a council we can kind of help people to, but businesses to recycle more?
Yes, so something else that we're expecting to come out in resource and waste strategy, something to do with extended producer responsibility, you may have heard of. So it's maybe more of a stick approach rather than a carrot, but the proposal there that may be coming in is that businesses will be required to take more responsibility on how they produce material in the first place for the goods that are sold, and then also how they deal with that at the end as well. So I think our work with commercial has been fairly limited in the past, but certainly something that's on our radar. Again, we're expecting some.
How much power do you have in that regard? If it's not much.
As a borough council, not really, no, because it's a commercial operation, so we'd have limited, but it's not to say we can't go out and educate and inform our local businesses. It's certainly something we've discussed in the past, but again, there's a number of uncertainties that we're facing in the future around resource and waste strategy, which may force us down a particular road anyway.
Okay.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you very much. No more questions on what's the 50?
Yeah, just
say yes, ma'am.
Well, only about the compost bins, because we own compost bins, and you're saying people would like to buy their compost back. I mean, you just put all your kitchen waste into a compost bin, and you get the richest compost that you've ever seen.
Get mice as well.
Yeah. You
haven't got the facilities. No, you don't. But you only need a small space for a composter, and you can do all your plants, vegetable plots, everything. And it's so rich. I mean, one of our neighbours came round and I've got a wheelbarrow full of it, and they couldn't believe that I'd bought it. You know, so it's mad for people to, you know, it's about education. People need to know how easy it is. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You just bump it in and it rots down, and it's black, rich compost, just like, you know, a bag of compost you'd buy anywhere.
Thank you for that, Anne. I think you've encouraged us all to get a compost.
Yeah, you must get one. It's amazing.
I did have a compost heap once, but then I found they got mice at the bottom. Anyway, that's another story.
Better than in that.
Right, shall we move on to page 57 then, please? No questions on... Thank you, Lee. No questions on page 57? Everybody's quite happy with that? Right, page 58?
Yes.
Yes?
And the source overlays to the bottom question on 57th page, where it says target. Take for instance this L153, reported incidents of domestic abuse. It says a target 2,959. What does that mean? Surely it doesn't mean that we want 2,959 cases. Domestic abuse.
I think Vicky can answer this for you, actually.
Right. Could you tell me what these mean, please?
Okay. So, the overall reported crime in the borough, which is L52, we look at the trends, so from the previous year, and we want to reduce the crime that's reported, or the crime that's being carried out. With regards to domestic abuse, that was the number of, so again, we've used previous year's numbers, figures, but we've looked at an increase in reporting for domestic, sorry, I'm just trying to think that. We looked at increase in reporting was what had been asked previously. So we wanted to see an increase in reporting because it meant that we could then support victims. It's not that we want a high number of domestic abuse incidents. It's about them as being able to, once it's been reported, we're able to intervene and support.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah? Okay, more or less. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so that's the end of that report. So now we'll move on to page 59. Thank you. Yeah.
So I can introduce this one.
Thank
Chairman.
You.
If I can refer members straight to the appendix on page 62, please. Yeah. Just to note that the Disabled Facilities Grants presentation that's down for the January meeting is going to be pushed back to the March meeting.
Oh, was it?
Please.
Which
See at the bottom of page 62, Disabled Facilities Grants presentation. That's now going to go to the March meeting. So,
okay.
Open for any comments, Chairman, please.
Why is that?
discussions with my colleagues.
Discussions with your colleagues? Yeah. Okay. Can I ask the question, why has it been pushed back, please?
Okay. At the March meeting earlier this year, we had a presentation from Sam Taylor on the new shared service, the Saving Facilities Grants.
Mm-hmm.
We recognised that there was a significant backlog of cases being handled from the previous provider, and mm-hmm. we were setting up the service from scratch. We agreed at the committee then that it would be sensible to have a year to embed the new services to try and get to
the remember that now. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Really see the cases coming through afresh and yeah. have to pull this through some good practice examples. So it was agreed at that stage that a presentation on the March would be sensible.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. I do remember that meeting now. Yeah, that's great. Right, so now we move on to. The last item,
that's it,
on page 62.
That's the last item.
Yeah, but can we can we also look, when are we looking at dentistry?
Yeah.
Because that was on the No, we're not. Well, I thought, yeah, but we, yeah, okay. Thank you, Councillor Kirk.
And
thank
then you're going to come back here.
Not me.
Yeah.
Can I
just mention also that I had a meeting with Chris Butcher and Anna the other day about Housing Plus and how they operate, about the cold and the damp and the mould and everything, which was, I found, a very interesting meeting. And because we've got a lot of new councillors now, I thought it might be a good idea that, and Chris is quite happy to do this, and so is Anna, I do believe, one evening, to invite all councillors to listen to how they work with Housing Plus, mould and cold and all, because it was really interesting, I found it. And then from that meeting, we could actually then pick out what subjects we're going to scrutinise at this meeting. You
good
know,
idea.
Pick the major yeah. points and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that's a good idea?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're all in agreement to push forward with that. Thank you for that.
I've intervened on behalf of a couple of tenants of Housing Plus and Rural Homes. And one was quite a difficult one, which took quite a while to turn around, but we got there. And the other one, they very quickly responded. So.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing there. Sometimes how they work, isn't it?
The dentistry one, is that something we need to get our teeth into?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's something, Housing Plus, you know, that we should probably fetch to the committee a couple of times a year, just to keep them on the ball. And yes, Councillor Nixon.
Can I please find a way to speak to somebody about children's services?
You're talking county now.
Yeah. There's a real problem, and I'm battling it and I can't battle it anymore.
Can we have a conversation outside this meeting then, and we'll see what.
Yes, please. Can
okay.
we do it tonight?
Pardon?
Can we do it tonight?
Yeah. Well, that's no problem. I think yes, please.
We do in this committee to look at mental health issues for men and suicide prevention.
Do you know, it's interesting you should say that, because that crossed my mind the other day, because I was quite blown away by the number of, shall we say, men, okay, that commit suicide.
Yeah,
it's 100 and something a week or something.
Yeah,
it's absolutely phenomenal.
I mean, we've got Andy's Man Club working.
Yes, and it's brilliant.
Within Stone, it's not for us.
Yeah.
Really, at the end of the day, these organisations ought to be better publicised.
Couldn't agree with you more.
We could do as a bulletin. Perhaps we could look into this.
Can I just finish? It's interesting you say that, because one of the doctors on the, well, he's a counsellor, but he's also a doctor, and he's actually trying to start an Andy Man's Club. I think, am I right, Councillor Per, in Cannock area? We've got one in Stafford that meets every Monday night at 7:30 at the rugby club, and I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
So any men that you feel could be signposts to that would be good. But we'll have a look at that, Philip, because I do feel that there is some merit in doing that.
Particularly amongst the farming community.
Yeah. It's. Can I also mention as well? Can I just finish, Dan, and then? can I just also say, I was asked a question by Councillor Barron at the last meeting about the crisis centre at St George's, about what age the children will be allowed there, and I'm told there's no age restriction. So I just want you to know that that's been, I have asked the question, got an answer, and moving forward. Right, Ansel, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wondered whether somebody would come from Anders Man Club and talk to us, because, yeah, you know, raise our...
Yeah.
I have been to Anders Man Club as a visitor when I was mayor last year, and as part of my distribution of
funds, yeah,
I'm going to give them a donation.
Yeah, I think they do a really good job, and it's growing, it's getting larger and larger,
it is,
isn't,
yes,
it?
When
and
I went, there was 17 men there.
Yeah.
And recently there's been over 40.
Yeah, yeah, I mean.
Yeah,
it's. I did meet the guy actually that ran it, something to do with the fire service, but it's something again that we can can monitor and look at, Jim, and we'll have a discussion about that.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think we've had a really good meeting, and I think it's quite interesting that, you know, Freedom Leisure, as I say, have come forward and give us some insight in what they're doing, so that's really good. Take Brendan's point about putting a new date in for a site visit to all the different, and about looking at the air quality that you mentioned, Jack. And as I say, brilliant. I think we've had a good meeting. And is there anything anybody else wants to say, or be quite?
Just suicide rate is high in North Staff.
Mm. Yeah, and I think Lee's, and thank you Lee as well, and Vicky for coming along, and you want to mention something?
Yeah, I'd just like to extend the offer to any members that are interested. We can sometimes arrange a visit to the recovery facility that we talked about, where our waste was going to. And also to the Veolia Tollgate Depot.
Yeah.
I suggest recovery facility is probably one that's of more interest. But if anyone is interested,
thank you. Yeah, and you. And it'll be interesting actually to see how you're working with businesses as well on waste as you're moving forward, you know, as you picked up, Jack. It'd be quite interesting to see that. So I've got that down.
Got it. I've got it. We're all right.
So is the recycling centre now completed? Because originally, a few months ago, it was closed down for refurbishment.
Yeah, it's just reopened again, the recovery facility. So, we should be able to arrange a visit fairly. Yeah. It's quite hard to get an exact time and suit everyone, but please feel free to get in touch with me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that, Lee. Well, I think we've pulled a lot of ground in the last hour and 10 minutes. Thank you very much for everybody attending, and safe journey home, and enjoy the sunshine for the next few days. The winter will be on us before anything else. Okay.